Come on, Psalms 138. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you have it, just say amen. I was not going to read the entire text this morning for the sake of time. But time is good. Our time is good this morning, and I think to put this in the right context, to put this in proper context, you have to hear all of the text. And it'll also save me some time explaining it to you if you can read it and hear it for yourself. And so when we dive into Psalms 138, your heading in your Bible should say a Psalm of David. And what I want you to know is that David is writing this psalm to declare that God answers prayer. Oh my God, I got some work to do already. Before I get started, y'all gonna have to turn me up just a little bit, please. Just a little bit. I'm going to say that one more time, because I'm asking you to turn me up because I don't think they heard me the first time. The psalm is being written because David is declaring God answers prayer. Okay, just want to make sure I'm in the right church this morning. I hope you brought some oil with you. It looked like you're running on empty here. And David begins to say these words. It says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. For the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward your temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above your name. In the day when I cried, you answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. And all the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet has he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knows afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Here's our focus for the day. The Lord will perfect, my God, that which concerns me. My God, I wish I had a church this morning. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the works of thy own hands. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening. It makes the come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and be a discerner of the intentions of the heart. Father, speak such a word to us today that it changes our very nature, and that it causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. That it transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Father, touch our hearts so it's open to receive the word. Anoint our ears that we're able to hear it. God, the most important thing today, as always, is that you have your way. God, we have no agenda but yours. Speak to us today. Move among us. Do what you will. Do it through me, Father. We'll give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, you agree? Shout amen. Before you sit down, turn to your neighbor, smile as bright as you can. Come on, come on, come on. Show them everything God's blessed you with. Even if you got gold teeth, it's all right. Smile and show them those pearly whites. And say, you got to start small. Come on here. But you got to believe big. Find somebody on the other side of you and say, you better believe big. Even if you start small. Yeah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to jump into this thing, and I want to do it with the help of the Holy Spirit. I am not a preacher who likes to hear the sound of his voice. I am rather one who likes to flow and move in the midst of the presence of God. And though I am prepared to give this message and certainly able, I don't want to be prideful in this moment to not tell you that, you know, I long for the Spirit of the Lord to show up before I even give a word. This morning is taking some time for us to embrace the Spirit of God in this room, in this church. And so my few opening comments and statements is going to be for the invitation of the Holy Spirit first, before I jump into where God wants us to go. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You must have the right environment. In other words, you have to have the right environment if you're going to do anything for God. God is not going to put anything that is precious in the wrong environment. We know this to be true because in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, before he decided to make the crescendo of his creation, before he put any ability for the ground to begin to reproduce, he had to set everything back in order, and he had to bring it into the right conducive environment. And so, in other words, God created you and I to live with him in that right conducive environment. And so he wants us to live with him in relationship and fellowship. Look at your neighbor and say, when's the last time you talked to God this week? Come on here. Yeah. Yeah, when the last time you said something to him. And so he wants that fellowship. And the reason why he wants that fellowship is because he wants to give us direction. And when he gives us direction, it requires a word that we don't like called obedience. And I'll talk about that in a little while. But what it does, it is establishes and it maintains, if you will, his presence and his assurance and his guidance and his direction. When we listen to God, when we hear him, and when we walk in the ways he's asking us to walk into, he's pleased. And not only is he pleased, he's eager to continue to lead us, amen, to greener pastures and lead us beside still waters. And he does these things for his name's sake. And so the reason why he wants you in the right environment is because he knows there's something that is special on the inside of you. There's a treasure. There's something that he's trying to pull out of. I like to call it potential, and this is what we all like to call it in our everyday concept and understanding. And look at your neighbor and say, you got great potential. Come on here. And in having great potential, you have to understand where the potency came from. God is your source, and everything else, I wish I had help, everything else outside of God then is a resource. And when you understand that functionality, then you can understand that if the environment is not conducive, then you really can't move. And so you have to wait for the right environment, if you will, to be able to flow in your potential. And so my first statement then is that your ability is your responsibility. If you're able to get into the presence of God, then you're responsible to get into the presence of God. If you're able to lift up your hands and lift up your voice and give him worship, then you're responsible. Y'all ain't said nothing to give him worship. If you chose to get up this morning and put on clothes and drive down here and not lay in bed to hear a word from God and to get into his presence, then you're responsible for the word that you're about to receive. Therefore, don't receive the word without a conducive environment for the word to go down into your spirit. Meaning, you have to let go of everything that's in your mind at this very moment, center in and focus on what God is about to say to you, because he's got a word for your life. Go on, nudge your neighbor and say, forget everything else. Come on here. Focus on what God has. And if they can't forget everything else, and if you can't forget everything else, take 30 seconds real quick. Put your hands together and give God praise for what he's about to speak in your life And that will help you forget. Oh, I wish I had a church this morning. That'll help you forget everything that you're dealing with in your life. Your ability is your responsibility. That means you are a powerful individual. And that power that you possess, that God wants to work through. For the scripture says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But it's according to the power that works on the inside of us. Meaning God wants to do greater things beyond what we can imagine. But it requires us. It requires him to work in and through us to be able to make that happen. And so the world in which we live and the society in which we find ourselves is proficient, if you will, in aborting its potential. And the reason why it's proficient in aborting its power and its potential and what it can do and what it can accomplish is because of the environment in which we find ourselves in. In other words, we find ourselves in a place of uncertainty. Where you're not sure what life is going to be like. And we find this at the highest levels in government, and we find this in business, and we find this in our everyday lives. Don't know what day will bring. Don't know what tomorrow is going to happen. This is expressly why the Lord said to us, give no thought for tomorrow, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all of the things that you're concerned about and worried about are going to be added to your life. This world is proficient in aborting its potential because of the environment of which it has to live. And not only will it do nothing, to help you, in other words, not only will it do nothing to help you reveal and use what lies on the inside of you, it will most likely, speaking of the world, most likely discourage you, by measuring your efforts against the standards, if you will, of quote-unquote success that is in this world, or discouraging you by trying to defeat you way before you ever get started by getting you to focus on false narratives, or what one person said, alternative facts. Y'all ain't said nothing of what's being said out there in the world. This is why your every move and your every step this year has to be grounded in what God is saying and what God has said. It's amazing that in our day and time that we're always looking for something new, when all we got to do is go back to the rock that is called the B-I-B-L-E. I wish I had somebody look at your name and say, you better learn how to stand on the word. Come on here. Yeah. I'm getting there. You have to understand that you don't know what true success is because of the metric for it. In other words, you have to learn how to define it for yourself, because what somebody might call successful might not be what God is calling you to do. I wish I had somebody in here. Therefore, you'll be discouraged by what the world says success should look like. Or you'll be discouraged, if you will, when you even think about dreaming about doing something new or starting anything that's going to shake status quo or going to change something. There are always going to be some people that come up and tell you it's not possible. They're going to use disparaging words. They're going to get you to focus, if you will, on where you are rather than focusing on where God is taking you, and thereby undermining the journey of which you are on. Go and touch your name and say, you're headed somewhere. I wish I had a church this morning. And you have to understand that in that heading and in that place that God is taking you, that truly, I don't want to be a cliche, but truly no weapon formed against you is able to prosper. Because if God is involved in you taking new ground, and if God is involved in taking you somewhere, then you have to understand it's already perfected. Look at your neighbor and say, it's already done. Ah, God. My Bible tells me that the Lord will complete whatever it is that he started. And if God has spoken a word over your life, if he's put something in your heart, if he's given you vision, I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting right now, you better believe it's already perfected. Look at your neighbor and say, it's already perfected. Come on here. That means that that you then are responsible for the release of what God has placed on the inside of you. God is not responsible for the release. God is responsible, if you will, for the repair. Y'all ain't saying nothing, but he's not responsible for the release. He's fixing you so that you would then release what's on the inside of you. I'm preaching way better than y'all. Shout. You're responsible for the release of what God has placed on the inside of you. Now, the problem with that is that when tragedy strikes in any capacity, in any way, and I know I'm getting to where we need to go, that's when success dies in failure. In other words, you begin to support failure way more than you begin to support what God said is supposed to happen in your life. In other words, it's like a baby holding a toy, and when the baby gets the toy, it starts crying and then throws the toy away. You get the baby the toy, it stops crying, and then again, it throws the toy away. I'm preaching better than y'all. Shout. You ever experienced that with your child? And you're trying to figure out what they're crying for, and you're trying to give them what they're crying for, and then all of a sudden, they take what they're crying for, and they throw that thing away again and start crying. You and I sometimes are just like that baby. When God is saying, what do you want? And you're going, I don't know. And then he tries to give you something, and then you take the thing that should bring you peace. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And you then throw it away. I'm preaching way better than y'all. So you prayed for peace, he gave you peace. And you what? Threw it away. Y'all ain't said nothing. You prayed for joy, he gave you joy. And you let one situation and circumstance come, and you... I'm preaching way better than y'all. Shout. And you threw it away. You prayed for friends, and he gave you friends. And you what? Threw it away. You prayed for a spouse, and he gave you... I'm preaching way better than y'all. We would much rather master disappointment than seek new ground. Oh, I'm preaching way better than y'all. Oh, my God. You can work hard to achieve your goals and go after new ground and achieve your dream and all that wonderful stuff. and you can do all that wonderful stuff, but if you don't know how to protect it with the right environment and cultivate it and share it and act within the standards and directives of what God is saying, you will lose whatever it is God is trying to give you. This is why David jumps up and begins to make this psalm and begin to declare that God answers prayer. And the reason why he's jumping up to write this song that I will praise you with my whole heart is because David learned real quick that I can't half-heartedly go after something that God is telling me to do. If I don't protect this potential, if I don't identify the enemies of my potency, if I don't realize that there's something trying to get me to abort what it is God is calling me to do, there's a situation that's arising on the horizon that's going to try and test my resolve to get me to throw away and discard everything that God has placed in my heart and what he's trying to do. There's going to be some new circumstance that comes along the horizon that's going to try to discourage me. That's why I left Charleston, South Carolina with fire in my belly, with those people singing amen after that horrible massacre, and they can still stand there with hope in their spirit and joy on their heart. Your problems ain't that big, baby. I wish I had somebody in here. You got to begin to identify all around you the enemies of your potential. You have to understand that, yes, there are some folk, I wish I had somebody, and some spiritual forces that are going to be absolutely opposed to you stepping into the fullness of who God said that you're supposed to be. There are going to be some people that you linked up with that were counterfeits of what the promise was. Y'all ain't said nothing to me up in here. And they're going to try to get you to forget about what God told you, the peace that you can have, the joy that you can have, the purpose that you're supposed to have. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, God is about to perfect some things in my life. I wish I had somebody in here. That means to perfect you, he has to allow you to identify the enemies of your potential and the enemies of your purpose. Slap your neighbor and say, I got some enemies. Come on here. But they're not the enemies you think they are. They're not the group of haters that you spend more time talking about that is getting you, watch me now, distracted from going after what God is calling you to do. Slap your neighbor and say, ain't nobody that important. Come on here. Your real enemies are not people. Your real enemies are mindsets. Oh, I'm preaching up in here. Slap your name and say, it's a mindset, baby. I got the greatest enemy to your potential is your disposition. Am I preaching right? Am I? Slap your name and say, this is just the beginning. Come on here. This just. First and foremost, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. I thought I was in a church for real. Our fight is never against flesh and blood, but it is against principalities and powers, rulers of wickedness in high places. Yes, there is spiritual opposition, and spiritual opposition works in the realm of the soul. Y'all ain't said nothing to me. In other words, it always works in the realm to get your mind distracted so it does not focus on the word God gave you. Slap your name and say, I'm about to have a brain dump. Come on here. Of every negative thing anybody has ever said in the last month, and I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. I wish I had somebody. I'm about to have a different frame of mind and a different frame of reference. Therefore, your dreams, your plans, your ideas are targets. Watch me now. Are targets of our spiritual adversaries. Yes. So you are responsible to guard your plans, your ideas, not from people. No person in hell can stop you. I wish I had somebody. That's why people trip me out. And I know sometimes you want to keep your cards close to your chest. I get that. I understand that. But really, no. But it's going to put you in a skeptical mindset so that when God really does bring some folk that can help you out, you're going to be too afraid to share your idea and your concept with the person that God sent. I wish I had somebody in here. What you got to do is learn, come on, this is just the beginning. What you got to do is learn the real enemies of your potential. And so the methodology, if you will, for stealing your dreams and your ideas and your plans are many and they are varied. And it's according to the vision and the personality of the person that is aspiring to do a thing or to release what God has given them. In other words, the enemy will attack you based upon your ability to dream and your ability to go after what God said you're supposed to do. Y'all are not here with me. In other words, we have to identify these potential enemies and how, or strategies, how they use. And let me outline them for you this morning before I go another step further. The first one I want to outline is something called disobedience. The Bible repeatedly states that disobedience withholds God's blessings. Watch me now. I wish I had somebody in here because now y'all don't want to talk about nothing. Disobedience always withholds God's blessing. Isaiah said, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Disobedience always, watch me now, wastes potential and retards the attainment of goals. In other words, whenever you are disobedient to what God said, it is, watch me now, it is going to cause you to set goals but not get goals. I can't get help from anybody. So you're constantly starting, but you're never getting anywhere. I'm preaching way better than y'all shout. Look at your neighbor and say, he is talking to me. Come on here. Because ultimately, you have to understand it's called supernatural. In other words, something super is going to connect with something natural, and it's going to become supernatural. So when God tells you to do a thing, like go start a church in a big old building, y'all ain't said nothing. That don't make no sense. It doesn't make business sense. I wish I had church right here. It doesn't make any sense at all to do what we did. Slap your neighbor and say, but look at us now. Look at us now. That's called supernatural. Because somebody chose to obey what God's. There could be a job out there for you. There could be a business out there for you. Y'all not in here with it. That makes no sense on paper. Okay. It makes no sense on paper. But God, often doesn't make sense. Y'all don't like? No? It's quiet. You cannot persist in disobedience and release what God has given you. You have to learn how to submit to God in every area of your life. Here's another one. You ain't gonna like it, but I'm gonna preach it anyway. Another enemy to your capacity to go after and take new ground and to release what God has placed on the inside of you, whether they're dreams, plans, ideas, whatever they are. It's called sin. S-I-N. Y'all ain't here with me. David said it this way in Psalms 51. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. He said, create in me a clean, a pure heart and renew a right spirit within me. I wish I had a church in here. Do not cast me out of your presence, because that's the environment that's conducive for me. And if I don't have that, I don't want you to take your Holy Spirit. I wish I had somebody away from me. Why? Because that leads me and guides me in all truth. So restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant me, I wish I had a church in here, a willing spirit that'll sustain me. Slap your neighbor and say, you can be kept if you want to be kept. Ah, God, you don't have to wrestle with your mind. I wish I had a church in here. Stop destroying your relationship with God through the suicide of sin. Stop destroying what God can do in your life by dipping and dabbling. I wish I had somebody. Sin is not an act. It's a disposition. It means to miss the mark. That's why the church is in the predicament that it's in, because we don't talk about that little three word, that little three letter word, S-I-N, sin. It means to miss the scope of what God intended. Slap your neighbor and say, sin will get you every time. The Bible says the wage of sin is death. And don't hit me on Twitter or Facebook talking about you were judgmental today. No, I'm telling you the truth, boo. I'm telling you the thing that's going to separate you from God is the stuff the world is trying to convince you to do. Oh, God. I'm going to leave sin alone, because I can already tell that don't go over big. No. See, the effects of sin and disobedience are similar, but sin is a more basic ill, because sin is a total rebellion against the known will of God. See, sin, you don't understand. Folk out there having a good time, enjoying their life in their world, God ain't talking about them. For the gospel is hid to them that are lost. They don't know what you know. Let me get back behind here. I feel darts and blades. And sin is a rebellion against what you know God wants. Don't eat that. Don't touch that. Why? That's what I asked you to do. Okay, let's leave that one alone. Okay. Three, fear. Look at your neighbor and say, fear. Come on here. Fear is an enemy to you releasing what God has placed on the inside of you. Fear, watch me now. Oh, this is so good. Fear is having faith in the impossible. Okay, y'all didn't hear me. Y'all try and play church. Fear is having faith in the impossible. Psst. Psst. It's still going. Fear is having faith, oh my God, in the impossible. You still trying to wrap your mind around that? It's dwelling on all that could go wrong instead of what could go right. Oh, you want to shout on that? I just said the same thing. Fear is dwelling on all that could go wrong instead of what will go right. Look at your neighbor and say, I ain't living my life that way. When David met Goliath, David and Goliath is an outlier. The story is an outlier. Because when David met Goliath, David was the only person that wasn't afraid. And here's why David wasn't afraid. Everybody else was trying to get David to put on armor and talk him out of fighting this giant. But David understood he had something Goliath ain't had. I wish I had something. Here's why the story is an outlier. Everybody thought that David was the underdog. David was the favorite. Why? Because David brought a gun to a knife fight. Y'all can't get it anyway. And other Goliath had a sword. David had a slingshot. And the power of the slingshot, I wish I had somebody in here, was more powerful than Goliath waving his sword. David had a weapon that he did not have to engage his adversary. In order for Goliath to get to David, he had to put himself at risk. David could sit back from a distance and take out his enemy. I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting. You got to understand the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I can get you with my praise at a distance. I can take it to God in prayer and not even deal with you. Man, I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting up in here. Slap your neighbor and say, I have no fear. Come on here. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. I got to hurry up, get through these, because this is just my intro. Number four, discouragement. Slap your neighbor and say, ain't no time for discouragement. Come on here. Yeah. Most things worth having require patience and perseverance. I wish I had somebody. Unfortunately, most of us sacrifice what God has given us on the inside of us on the altar of discouragement. We allow our experiences, if you will, to allow us to have sour notes that hinder our ambition or our ability to go and practice what God has promised. In other words, we pray, but we don't pray with our feet. I'm preaching way better than y'all shout. We talk about what God is saying. We clap our hands and we run around the church, but as soon as we go and meet any adversity, we cower and we give up and we come back to the house of God, cry some more, clap some more, run around again. Y'all ain't said nothing, but we don't have the patience and the perseverance to actually go after what God is saying. Slap your name and say, don't be discouraged, baby. My Bible says, don't you be weary in well-doing, for if you faint not, you shall reap in due season. Slap your name and say, I feel a due season coming. Come on, somebody, get with me with this thing. Here's the one. Here's the one I really want to come against this morning because I can feel it in the atmosphere. The fifth enemy to you releasing what God has placed on the inside of you is the ugly, nasty spirit of procrastination. I'm about to lay it down up in here. Slap your name and say, procrastination is leaving your life today. I got a feeling of you have to get out of the habit of delaying making decisions when God has told you to do a thing. Slap your name and say, just do it, baby. Stop waiting for a better tomorrow. Stop waiting for a better outcome. Stop considering the atmosphere in the sky. Just do it. Procrastination delays action until a later time, and it kills potential. If you wait for the perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. That's biblical and scriptural. Ecclesiastes 11:4. Lord, have mercy. Procrastination grows out of discouragement. When you become discouraged, you stop finding reasons for doing what we know we can do. Slap your name and say, I know I can do this. Oh God, I'm fit for this thing. I'm built for this battle. I am ready to go after what God has called me to do. I'm qualified for that job. I wish I had somebody in here. Slap your name and say, I know I can do this thing. For I walked out here. My daughter is auditioning in Boston at a ballet company, Boston Conservatory. And she texted me and said, Daddy, I'm nervous. I said, baby, you got the stuff. It's all on the inside of you. Nervous is natural, but I want you to understand, don't let nervous stop you. Y'all ain't said nothing. Look at your name and say, you got the stuff. I wish I had somebody in here. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't care what discouraged you. I don't care who told you you would never be. You got the stuff. If you're blood washed and blood bought, you got the stuff. Slap your neighbor and say, I got the stuff. I got the stuff. I got, let every negative word your mother or daddy or your grandmother ever said roll off your back like water off a duck's back. Slap your neighbor and say, wait a second. I got the stuff. I know I got the stuff because I'm still here. All the hell I've been through. I should have thrown the towel a long time ago. I got the stuff. I got. Slap your neighbor and say, you got the stuff, baby. Don't choose to lose simply because you refuse to act. So you choose to lose when you refuse to act when God required it. When God always requires you to act in a manner, in a way that's seemingly, you know, kind of crazy. March around the wall. Shout now. Stick out your staff. I'm sorry. Procrastination eats away at the very core of our time and our ability to be motivated. Slap your name and say, you're going to need a little motivation. Come on here. Destroy procrastination by eliminating all excuses and reasons for not taking action. Slap your name and say, ain't no reason. Come on here. You better get an earth, wind, and fire anointing and say, the reasons that I am here. Y'all ain't said nothing to me up in here. I wish I had a church to preach to. Slap your neighbor and say, I got more reasons to do than not to do. The first reason that Jesus died and rose from the grave, and he saved my soul, and he put my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Reason number one. Reason number two, I wish I had somebody in here that he's working in and out of me of his will and his good pleasure. And he that has begun a good work shall bring it to completion. Slap your name and say, I got some reasons. I got some reasons. I'm sorry. I don't think I'm going to get out the intro today. I want to touch on one more. I want to touch on one more. Man, I come against the spirit of procrastination in the name of Jesus. You're going to go back to school? Do it. If you're going to write the business plan, do it. I wish I had somebody in here. Whatever you're about to do, do it. These are so good. Okay, I'm be texting y'all all week long. Procrastination, you devil. I want another enemy. I'm sorry, I got a lot of these, but I got to touch on these. Another enemy, past failures. I feel this thing in the spirit. I'm telling you, past failures is crippling you because too often we are unwilling to take risks in the present because we have failed in the past. Slap your name and say, that was the past. Come on, baby. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. Failure is never a reason to stop trying. As a matter of fact, failure provides another opportunity, if you will, to enjoy success. Shall I say, slap your name and say, I got an anointing to try again. Come on here. I wish I had somebody. It was the Apostle Paul said, not as though I have obtained, but I press on to take hold of that which first took hold of me. I feel like preaching up in here, for I do not consider myself to have take hold of it, but not for any other reason, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. Slap your name and say, forget what happened. Come on here and get a press. Come on here. Forget what took place back then and press on to something greater. I can't. I'm trying. Can I give you two more? Okay, because this is just the intro. Sorry. I didn't even got to the start small stuff. I'm going to get there in just a second, if you give me time. Another enemy. This is so good. Another enemy to you releasing what God is. Oh, this is so good. What God has placed on the inside of you is the opinion of others. I'm gonna tell this story. I was in a church in Ohio. I won't say the part of Ohio I was in, but big, huge church in Ohio, not Pastor Parsi's church, a different church. And I was preaching, and my son had just got his acceptance letter from Mark Zuckerberg to go to Harvard, and we were so fired up. I mean, fired up. And he had all these scholarships. I mean, everywhere else he had free school. Everywhere else. He had free school. Everywhere else. And we were so fired up. And He was like, Dad, I'm going to Harvard. I was like, yeah, you going to Harvard, boy, yeah. Jesus! And I go, and I'm preaching, and I preach in the, we had church. And I'm preaching, this is a predominantly white church at that. And you know, it is nothing funnier than seeing 5,000 white folk go like this. Changed my life. They was dancing and the shouting and the praising God. It was good stuff. And I finished preaching. And so I go over and they did it old school. So we had old school in the back church fellowship, and you know, which was kind of cool because people don't do that no more. And you know, preachers were there and we all sat back and we were sitting down talking. And I was so excited. I had to share the news. I was like, yeah, my son is all. I was really bragging. My son is all. My son is going off to Harvard, you know, and blah, 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 blah. And then one of the preachers sitting right there, you know, he was like, oh, God, oh, no, you don't want to do that. You don't, you know, he gave me all these reasons, right? And I'm sitting there listening, like, they were stupid reasons in the first place. But I'm sitting there getting discouraged by listening to him be goofy. Y'all ain't said nothing. I don't even know this dude. Y'all ain't said nothing. I just met him. He just sitting at the table. And him just saying these negative comments about somewhere he ain't never been or don't know anybody that's been there is infiltrating my mindset. And so after a while, as he kept talking, and I'm getting more and more discouraged, I kind of stood up, and I was just like, my man. I had to go park kites on him. My man. My son just got into one of the most prestigious colleges in the country. I don't want to hear your opinion about it. There's some folk in your circle that constantly try to tell you that something ain't right, or that you need to look at them and say, wait a second, I've been praying for this a long time. I've been believing for this a long time. I don't want to hear your opinion. God bless you. Opinion of others. Last one. This is good. I'm sorry. I done messed this whole thing up. I'm supposed to be preaching on start small, believe me. Woo! Is this blessing anybody? Yeah. Opinion of others. Here's the last one I want to give you. I had about 20 of these. Y'all know me. Here's the last enemy to releasing what God gave you. Success is another enemy. I have arrived. Have you? Maybe you're just getting started. Maybe the last assignment you just completed was a prequel. Y'all ain't said nothing to what God is about to do. Y'all didn't like that one. See, when we complete something, whether it's a task, assignment, a dream, an endeavor, and quit because we think we arrived, we never become all that we're supposed to be. So my word is then leave what you've already accomplished and go start something else. Lord have mercy. Why? Well, Pastor, why should I do that? Because our adversary is afraid of what you got on the inside of you. That's why he's taking so much time to discourage you and derail you and cause you to be fearful and let you listen to the opinions of others and cause you to procrastinate. Because if you ever really release everything that God had called you to do and called you to be, he know he is in a world of trouble, because you're going to go tell people, I serve a God that hears and answers prayer. I serve a God that heals. I serve a God that delivers. I serve a God that set free. Y'all ain't said nothing to me in here. You can never truly succeed without discovering and doing what God asks you to do. Without that, everything we do is really nothing. Oh, I'm preaching way better than y'all show. The power of God within you is greater than any other power. David realizes this, and so he begins to say in Psalms 130, hey, I'm going to praise you with my whole heart. He says, I'm not going to half-heartedly go after anything that God is doing in my life. And no matter what troubles I walk through or no matter what difficulties I face, I understand I will not be proud in any of that, for I walk in the midst of trouble. In other words, he understands that if I'm in the trouble, God will be right there with me. And he'll revive me and strengthen my soul. Why? So that the enemies to what God has placed on the inside of me don't play on my psyche and my mindset. I wish I had somebody here. Slap your name and say, you're about to have a neurological workout. Come on here. I know you can't even get the word out your mouth. In other words, we're about to work on your brain real quick. God, it was Jeremiah said that this I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. It is because of the Lord's mercies. I am not soon. Slap your neighbor and say, you're about to have a brain workout. Come on here. My God, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. Slap your neighbor and say, you better think about it. You better think about it. What has God done in your life that makes you think about it so that you get joy unspeakable? Come on, have a brain workout. Look at your neighbor and say, I shouldn't even be here right now, but God chose to be good to me. Find somebody else and tell them how he healed your body. Find somebody else and tell them how he saved your soul. I wish I had a church this morning. Have a brain workout. Sit down. Let me give you this. And I'm going to quit. Slap your name and say, so start small, baby. But believe big. Why? Because the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. The word perfect here in the text means to bring to completion. God is not about to halfway do something. And so if you feel like you ain't never going to make it, slap your neighbor and say, you might be at the halfway point. God, I felt that anointing right there. And if you're at the halfway point, you got to begin to work your brain out to remind yourself, he's brought me this far, and therefore he's going to take me the rest of the way. Slap your neighbor and say, you're at the halfway point. Come on here. And when you're at the halfway point, you got to remind yourself that God will perfect that which concerns you. Look at your neighbor and say, he's going to get it done, baby. He's going to get it done. So while you're at the halfway point, you might as well bless the Lord at all times and let his praise continually be in your mouth. Slap your neighbor and say, I don't mind starting small. Despise not the day of small beginnings, because God is working on something big. Slap your neighbor and say, it's big, baby, it's big. Bigger than you can ever dream. Bigger than you can ever believe. I'm preaching to somebody here. Don't worry about starting small. Don't worry about starting where you are. Don't worry about starting. But when you start, you believe big. Oh, I hear your Holy Ghost. Don't worry about starting over. I feel that in the spirit. There's an anointing to start over for somebody in this house. I don't know who am I preaching to here. Slap your neighbor and say, I got an anointing to start over. It didn't work out the last time, but I got an anointing to start over. I'm getting my fire back in my belly again. Who am I preaching to in here? Oh, God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Let me sit down. God will perfect. He will complete what concerns you. Ah! And he will not forsake what he's working on. If God is anything, he is a finisher. He's a finisher. Hallelujah. And so You have to choose to every day. I'm gonna quit. I'm done. Every day, to wake up with intentionality and decide I'm going to release what God has placed on the inside of me, my idea, my plan, my concept, my dream, my purpose, my work, whatever it is that I am doing, I'm going to get up every day and I am going to do it. Pastor, why do you have such tenacity? Why do you have such zeal? Because I know our adversary wants us not to believe big. He wants us discouraged. Oh God, I'm preaching. He wants us wrestling our sins constantly. Just slap your name and say, you did it, get over it, move on, come on. Come on, move on. You did it, it's over, move on, let's go. I'm not trying to marginalize repentance. That is repentance. You did it. Move on. Change your mind. Change your actions. Father, forgive me. Let's go. Move on. Get up. Can't change it. You can't fix it. He wants us in that place. He wants us procrastinating, waiting for the right opportunity. I ain't ready. I ain't ready. You ain't ever going to be ready. You ain't never going to be ready to be married. You ain't never going to be ready to be saved. You ain't never going to be ready to start your business. You ain't never going to be ready. You ain't never ready. I told somebody the other day, I got married at 21. They said, oh, my God, were you ready? No. I was a child. A child. My son came to me and said, I'm getting married. I'll smack him. I said, no, you ain't. Enemy wants us. But if you get up every day with intentionality, and I'm sorry, I'll preach start small, believe big some other time. I couldn't get out the intro. But stop letting these things rob you of who you really are. And what you can accomplish. Stop. Slap your neighbor and say, no more. Wake up every day with intentionality and some fight down in your spirit. Look at your neighbor and say, I feel an anointing to fight for what God placed on the inside of me. Oh, I feel this thing. Slap your neighbor and say, I feel an anointing to fight for what God has placed on the inside of me. Look at your neighbor and say, if you won't fight, I'll fight for you. Come on here. Look at him again and say, I'll fight till hell freezes over, baby. And if it freezes over, I'll fight on the ice. I wish I had somebody in here. Slap your neighbor and say, fight, baby. Come on, fight for the anointing. Fight for your purpose. Fight for your potential. Everyone stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Come on, I feel something stirring in the spirit. Grab that neighbor by the hand real quick and say, you're releasing something today. Listen, now I want you to hear me clearly. Because it's at this moment where we talk about releasing fear and we talk about releasing. No. You're releasing potential. You're releasing what God has placed on the inside of you to do and to be. The ideas, plans, dreams, and endeavors that are hidden in your heart, that lie dormant in your spirit, that you refuse to release and let go. Somebody needs to know and hear what God has placed on your heart. You can't just sit here and keep condemning and beating yourself up and beating yourself down and playing the mental mind game that the enemy plays with you. keeping you procrastinating, keeping you living in sin, keeping you disobeying, keeping you discouraged, keeping you fearing success because you failed in the past, keeping you bound by the opinions of others, keeping you stagnant because you have succeeded, but there's more for you to do and you refuse to do it. I'm preaching way better than y'all shout. The church don't retire. I'm preaching better than y'all shout. We keep going. The mission is never over. The assignment is never done because there's always somebody that needs to hear about the goodness of the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, you're releasing something today. Now, if they look at you side-eyed and crazy, you know, just keep it on bound all up on the inside of you and die rich. Huh? Die with all that treasure on the inside of you. Miles Monroe used to say, the wealthiest place on earth is the graveyard. Die with all those ideas and all those plans. Go on. Take it with you. Or release something great. And listen, significance is powerful. This is what I was supposed to talk about. I didn't get there. We all want to do something significant, but significance is relative. You have to learn to work your segment of the wall. You have to do what God put on the inside of you to do. Regardless if anybody in you know, California knows about it or Florida knows about it. It doesn't matter. Only that God knows. Hallelujah. A literary agent came, drove 2 hours to Charleston, South Carolina, and he's texting and emailing all these publishers. I mean, Thomas Nelson and, you know, Hendrickson and the big boys. And I'm with Pastor Phillips and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they ask me all these questions, and I'm like, this is so unreal. And my greatest enemy is humility. See, I'm so humble that I refuse to go and do what God is asking me to do. Because I'm always worried about, I don't want nobody to think I'm trying to get this or do that, blah. And so at that table, with beautiful overlooking Charleston, South Carolina, sitting on this rooftop restaurant like thing, and we're outside, and you know, and it's beautiful, and I'm overlooking this water. And I looked, and a fight came in my spirit, and I said it so loud, I'm the only black thing in Charleston, South Carolina. I said it so loud, everybody looked up, and I said, I refuse to care about what anybody thinks anymore. I've got to do this. I've got to. It's not even, I have to. It's a must. And if I don't do it, I'm being disobedient to God. That's the first time I ever articulated that in my life. So what I'm saying you're about to release is what I release. A few days ago, I don't care what you think. This is what God said. This is what I have to do. Regardless of what I don't have right or what I don't. I ain't altogether right, but I am altogether righteous. I wish I had somebody here. I've got to go and fulfill my assignment and my purpose and my potential. So on three, you're going to release something. Yes, it is in all endeavors. It is spiritual. It doesn't make sense because we're going to do it through praise and it ain't going to look like nothing. And, you know, it's symbolic and all those wonderful things. This is a spiritual thing. And if you're trying to wrap your intelligent brain around it, you're going to miss what I'm doing. What you are releasing is the greatness that God has placed on the inside of you. Why? Because he's not going to forsake the work of his own hands. It's what he's working on. And God is going to get a hold of your heart and your mind and your spirit. And you're going to be infused with a fire that you haven't had in a long time to go and do what God is asking you to do. No matter what segment of the wall, no matter how significant people might think it is, you're just obeying what God told you to do. And He'll bless you for it. He'll bless you for it. Father, we thank you for every gift, idea, plan, endeavor, dream that lies on the inside of these precious people. Father, we thank you that these are God-given concepts that you've placed in their spirits. Father, I thank you that there are people that you designed for their lives to connect with, to help them fulfill their purpose, release their potential. And I come against every enemy and every adversary of that treasure that lies on the inside of them. Father, I thank you for a divine release today that puts a fight in their belly, a resolve in their hearts, a fire in their mindsets to go and be all that you have called them to be. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. When I count to three, you come up giving God a shout of praise. One, two, three, shout. Come on, release that thing. Come on, release that thing. Don't do it symbolically. Do it until you feel like you release what God has placed on the inside of you. I wish I had 10 folk that really pressed in real quick. Come on, one more time. Shout hallelujah. Let that thing break off of you. Discouragement, break off of you. Procrastination, break off of you. Fear, break off of you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, I release mine, you release yours. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, lift those hands and receive the blessing of the Lord. Now go and get in agreement with what God said to you today. All day long you declare amen, for the promises of God are yes and amen. You take that word, you meditate on it. Come on, somebody. I'll be texting you all week. I might just text you, I bind the spirit of procrastination. Would that be helpful? Lift those hands, receive the blessing. May God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you, give you peace. May He surround you with His favor as with a shield. May His angels encamp themselves round about you, and His blood cover you from now to eternity. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Go believe big. God bless you. We love you.